is very evident that the Holy Spirit is in this place today. Amen. And I can't explain it. If I could, he wouldn't be God if I could explain him. How he does, why he does, when he does. I can't explain it. I am overwhelmed. Let me tell you, as your pastor, I love to do baptisms, and that was fantastic and awesome, and you did a great job this morning. I did pretty good too, but I'm just saying. But I love baptisms. It's a celebration. It's a time of rebirth and renewal, and we all get that sense and that feeling. We celebrate in that. You need to know that as your pastor, to see the multitude gathered at the front crying out, I want to know you more. I want you to open the eyes of my heart. I want to know. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want everything that you have for me to experience with you. I want that, and I want it now. You need to know that how there was a time and a place here at this church. Well, one, we didn't have that many people here when we first started when I first started here. But the growth, the desire, the hunger of God's people here in this place has increased. God does that calling. He does that pulling. But yet it's up to us to have the response to it, to say, yes, I hear you, and I do want to know you more. I am hungry. I want what you want for me. And so you need to know what it does to me as your pastor to see God's people under the people that I'm shepherding here in this place crying out, yes, yes, we want, we want, we want. We need, can't live without. I'm really not even sure with what's all been going on this morning, where to actually go here, but I'm just gonna make a stab at it, and we'll see what God says. Okay, we've been studying the Apostles' Creed and kind of looking at it. It's an early statement of faith, way back, and I think this creed was put together in 300 and I think maybe 390 or something like that. AD, way back, and it's basically a statement of the faith. It says, we believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. It makes some statements about that He ascended, He rose, He ascended to the Father's, and He's coming back to judge us again. There's forgiveness of sins. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit last week. Today, there's a statement in here that kind of sometimes makes people go, what? And the statement is in there, it says, we believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. Okay? Now, that's a problem if you say, wait a minute, I'm Baptist. Or wait a minute, I'm not Catholic. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to explain to you what that means. Okay? There's a line from a movie that's one of my wife's most favorite movies, The Princess Bride. And in there a guy says, you keep using that word. I don't think that word means what you think it means. Okay? Well, that word Catholic, I'm not sure it means what you think it means. Okay? I'm going to tell you what it really means. The term Catholic Church for some is a little confusing here. It's taken from the Greek word Katholikos. Katholikos, which means universal. It means one. It means united. It's the church at large. Okay? United. Universal. The first record of its use was around 107 AD by the Bishop Ignatius of Antioch in a letter to the Christians in Antioch. And in it, he urges them to follow this Catholicos church, this universal church. You see, we call the church the body of what? The body of Christ. We don't call the church the bodies of Christ, right? How many bodies does Christ have? One body. How many church does Christ have? One church. That's right. What is intended by the Holy Catholic Church is the church at large, not the denomination. This was all set up before there was a Catholic denomination. So I just wanted to clarify that for us out here that you know, we're not talking about the denomination. We're talking about the church at large. This church, Dolan Baptist Church, the churches in town, the churches in Houston, the churches in Dallas, and every other church that is based on the Bible, accepts Jesus Christ as God's only Son and the Savior of the world, and is under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, is the church. It is the Catholicos church, the universal church of God. It's Christ's church. And by the old Greek term that was used before the denominations ever existed, it is the Catholic church, the Catholicos church. Now, we believe in the body of Christ, which is the church. We are a small part of the church of Jesus Christ. Okay? We're a small part of that body. You see how hard it is to define? Because if I say, we are the church of Christ, you say, now wait a minute, no, we're not. We're Baptists. We're not Church of Christ. You see? And if I can say, we're the church of Jesus Christ, you can say, well, of today's saints or of Latter-day Saints or old-day saints. And you see how it gets all mixed up? God never intended for there to be denominations. He said, the church is the church. Now, we've gone and we've messed it all up, and we've had arguments and disagreements and theological breakdowns, and we've divided all this stuff up, but it was never meant to be divided in God's plan. And so that's what this statement is saying. It's saying we believe in the united church, in the one church. The little things that separate us most often are styles of worship, types of worship, a little bit of what we believe about the end times here, what we believe about the work of the Holy Spirit here, what we believe about all these things, okay? But you see, what's most important about all those things? Most of those things that divide us are peripheral issues. What's most important? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to this world because I couldn't get to God otherwise. He was crucified for my sake. He was buried. He died. He rose again. And he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, it's all God and it's one God. You see, those are very essential parts of the faith. And that's just what this statement was saying, is this one church. It's one church. It's the church at large. So do we believe in the greater body of Christ that is called the church? Yes. And that's what this statement is saying. It also says something about the communion of saints. We believe in the communion of saints. And what is the communion of saints? Well, it's the gathering of God's people for worship, for study, for fellowship, for accountability, for support, encouragement, and so forth. That is called communion. All right? That's what it means to commune. What we most often we use the term communion to describe the celebration of the Lord's Supper. How many of you thought when I said communion, that's what you think of? With the bread and the juice and the cups, and we're going to pass them, and everybody's going to... Yeah, that we call that communion. And that's, there's nothing wrong with calling it that. But communion is more than eating. Okay? In New Testament terminology, communion was often done over a meal. You would commune over a meal. What did that mean? Well, you sat down over a meal and you had conversation. You talked. You had fellowship one with another. That's what the communion is. It's not necessarily the meal. It's that time of fellowship. Did y'all know that there was once upon a time when mealtime was actually done like family style, and you actually sat around a table with guests or family around a table, and there was actual conversation? Could y'all imagine that? Some of you are going like, what? What is that? I've seen that in a movie, an old movie. It was black and white, but it was long. What is that all about? And for many today, mealtime is eating from a lap in front of a TV with an iPhone in one hand and a remote in the other hand. Okay? And there's no communion there. Matter of fact, my precious daughter-in-law has, I've learned a new statement from her. She's taught me this week. Be present. Zachary will be on his phone. He'll let his phone out. She'll say, be present. That means you're disengaged. You're not in the room mentally, emotionally, whatever. So disengage from that and be present. And being the good boy he does, he says, yes, dear, I love you so much. Puts it down. be present. And that's what God says to us sometimes. Be present. Sometimes he hollers at us and says, be still. And know that I am God. You need to disengage from that stuff like what most of you did here just a little while ago. You disengaged from all the distractions. You came here and said, I want to know you more. That is communion. Communion. Communion of the saints. We can commune with God, but the problem is that to many people, the idea of communion with God is not too different from their idea of family mealtime. I'm going to commune with God while I'm on my iPad and I'm flipping through the channels and I'm mowing the yard. And I'm, you know, we think that we can have communion with God with all these distractions, with all these other things vying for our attention. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 is a very familiar verse that says this, and let us consider how we may spur on one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Communion is the gathering together and being involved with each other. Do we believe in that? Do we believe in that? Do we believe that as we gather together, that our voice increases? As we gather together, we can lean on one another with our issues? We can support one another because we've been through some stuff that we know this person's going through, and I can come there and say, I don't know exactly how you feel, but I kind of been in your shoes a little bit. I understand a little bit of what you may be going through. I just want to tell you, God's got it. It's going to be okay. You know, that's important. Is that not important? When somebody's been fighting a long battle with a disease or whatever, and we go over, and that battle is finally over, and the Lord has called them home, and we go over there. Does it matter that we show up? Does it matter that we show our support? Oftentimes we take a casserole or a whatever, or what, and that's all fine and good, but what, you know what's most important? Your presence. Your presence. You know what that person is crying out to you? Be present. Be present. They want communion. That's what they want, communion. That's what communion is. Now what's this thing about the saints? All right? The saints. I mean, we don't live in New Orleans, do we? The communion of the saints. A saint is one who is faithful to God, separated and set apart. Okay? And that's what a saint is. Now, in Ephesians, I'm going to read a long passage to you. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 11 through 22, and it says this, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, excluded from the communion of Israel, okay? And strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one. He's talking about communion. He's talking about Jesus Christ came so that there's no more division. That Christ came for one and for all. Okay? Not specific groups. And he says here in verse 16, it says, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in him in whom the whole building being fit together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. It says there, you are fellow citizens with all the saints and are of God's household. All throughout Scripture, specifically in Paul's writings, he refers to people as saints. Believers as saints. Okay? Now, we have this idea of what a saint is, and most of us would say, well, I'm no saint. Some of you may have said that exactly, whereas I'm certainly no saint. But listen, if you are a child of God, that is, if you have surrendered your life to Christ as your Savior and Lord, believing that Jesus is the only way to the Father, and you welcome the Holy Spirit to work within you, you are a saint. Amen. We can't take that out of the Bible. We want to take it out of the Bible. I'm Saint Michael. Don't call me that, please. Now, you may not feel like a saint. And I understand that because I don't feel like a saint. But my question is, how does God see us? How does God see us? He sees us covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ if we have received Him as our Lord and as our Savior. And Paul, I think many times as he writes this in his letters, he's reminding the people, hey, you need to recognize and remember who you are. You need to remember who God sees you as and how God sees you. Okay? If you've committed yourself to Christ, He sees you as a saint. You need to remember that. Okay? He reminds people throughout. And as we read the Scripture, it's a reminder to us. Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing? Have you forgotten that you're a saint? Now, you don't have to go around bragging about your sainthood, but don't discount how the Lord feels about you either. Sometimes people like to sell themselves short. And sometimes people sell themselves short so that not much is expected from them. Well, I'm no saint. Don't expect me to behave because I'm no saint. Well, hang on a minute. Let's break this down. Because if you have proclaimed Jesus Christ as your Lord, and if you have truly given your life to Him, then yes, God sees you as a saint. Why are you not living up to that expectation? It's certainly not God that's saying, well, wait a minute, I've got too many saints, I don't need you. Okay? If you feel that way, that, well, I'm certainly no saint, why not? Why not? It's certainly not God's doing. It's something going on within us. That we don't feel worthy of that because of the way we're living our lives or something. And so something needs to change. Something needs to change. The first thing that needs to change is how we see ourselves. We need to see ourselves the way God sees ourselves. That will direct our actions and our behaviors to line up with that, with how God sees us. God considers you a saint, and He expects us to live up to that high calling. Now, at the end of his life, Paul was writing. Paul wrote a lot of stuff. Okay, he wrote the majority of the New Testament. Actually, that's not correct. Luke wrote more volume than anybody else in the New Testament. Paul wrote more books and letters. Okay, but in most of Paul's writings, he commends people to live right, to do right. And near the end of his life, he wrote. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I'm now approaching the finish line. My run is almost over. And I have, since my encounter with Christ, I've lived a life worthy of my high calling." Can you say the same about yourself? Now, before Christ, Paul had a completely different life. Matter of fact, he had a completely different name. He was called Saul. And he was the one that was going around trying to round up Christians and put them in jail and even have them killed or persecuted, okay? And then he met Christ on the road to Damascus, a very physical confrontation. Jesus said, "Hey, Paul, what are you doing? Or Saul, why do you persecute me? I'm going to change you around," okay? Paul had, he said, "Lord, Lord, whatever you say." And Saul became Paul. And since that point, since his conversion, he completely was 180 degrees difference. The same should be said of you and I. The same should be said of you and I. The same. Nobody should say, "What? You're a Christian? I never would have taken. Are you serious? Oh, come on. Oh, you're joking, right? Because I've. No, you can't be." Let me tell you something. If that's your testimony, something's got to change. Something's got to change. If somebody secretly finds out you're a Christian, they ought to go, "I knew it all along. I should have known. I knew it. 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 No question about it." Sure enough, that's the difference between sinners and saints. Now, I know that you may not want to go around saying, "I'm a saint. I'm a saint. I have sainthood thrust upon me now, and I'm a saint. I can almost fly." No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living a life in such a manner that matches up with the high calling that you've been given. And God has called us to be saints. Matter of fact, saints means sanctified, set apart, holy. And what did God say? "Be ye holy as I am holy." He said, "Be so godlike that people see you as holy." That's a big calling, folks. That's a big calling. The problem is, a lot of us don't want to step up to the plate to take that challenge. It's a lot easier just to not do that. Who said being a Christian was going to be easy? Certainly not Jesus. He said, "You're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some heartaches. You're going to have some hard times. And it's going to be rough. But it's all going to be good in the end." Now, that's a big paraphrase, okay? My question to us today is, do you believe in the one united church? Do you believe that it's important that we gather together to fellowship, to love on one another, to support one another, to provide for one another? Kind of like what I'm asking you to do, to provide for our kiddos. They're going to need some funds to help their program. Do we believe that it's important to do that, to come together? Now, I know that if you wouldn't, you surely nobody would say, "No, I don't believe in that," because you wouldn't be here today. Okay? Do we believe that it's important to gather together? Yes. Do we believe that we are saints of God? Let me tell you something. I'm not sure what you believe about yourself, but I can tell you what God believes about you. I can tell you that God says, "That is a sanctified, holified, perfected child of mine, not because of anything that he or she has done, but because my son, my good and my perfect son, gave his life for that very person, and that is good enough for me." Woo! Fires me up. I'm going to start preaching. But do you believe that about yourself? You've got to come to the point when you say, "I know what God has done for me. Now I'm going to live my life according to his calling on me. I'm going to live my life to show that I really understand and I appreciate exactly what he's done for me." And God, if you'll do that, God will use you to continue his plan in the life of someone else. Is that you? Are you that end person? Are you here today because somebody has been living a life that has said that it looks kind of attractive to you and you think, "Maybe I need that"? Are you here today because you felt the draw of the Holy Spirit in your life? I want to tell you, today's your day. Look, we got a party ready to happen just for you. We got all decorated out and everything. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all this is foreign to you. You don't understand any of it. You know what? You don't have to be a stranger. You, like that passage we just read. You were once aliens, but now through Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been brought into the family. There is now communion. We want to commune with you. If you want to be part of that communion, you come and see me. I'd be glad to visit with you about that. Come to a point where you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, just like Serenity did. Be baptized in the water. Don't forget, we still got water. We got clothes. I got everything you need. If that's you today, you come and see me. It's quite possible that you're not finished dealing with God today. We've been to the altar several times today. Maybe you're not done. The altar's open. Whatever your need is, this is your time. I'm going to ask Cal to, and Fran to lead us in a song. You respond as you feel the Lord calling your heart. For whatever reason, we're here. So Father in heaven, help, hear us. Lord, you've heard us cry out to you. You've heard us cry out and say, Lord, we want to know you more. We want to know you more. We want to see your face. We want to touch you. And Father, the only way we can do that is through direct communion with you. But Father, our voice is amplified when we commune with one another. And we've lifted each other up. And we've been living a life that shows, that is worthy of the high calling you've placed upon us. And Lord, I pray that today, if there is anybody in the room, Father, that has never trusted you as their Lord and their Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. Today would be the day that they are welcomed into the family of God, and they now have a right standing in front of you. Father, because the truth is, if that has not been done, Father, you don't see that person as a saint. You see that person as a lost sheep that is doomed and condemned to an eternity in hell. And Father, that is not your will for us. So Father, as you draw them, I pray they would respond. Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for this church. What a great body of believers this is. And Father, I thank you that we are not, just us is not the church, that we are part of the church. We are part of the body of Christ. And Lord, what a honor and privilege that is. May I live my life that shows you that I appreciate what you've done for me. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? We're just